Welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is one of my co-hosts, Brad Harbin. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, what's up, Kyle? Doing fantastic, man. Always good to hear that intro. That means we're ready to talk some fantasy football, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, can't beat that. Nothing better. And you and me co-hosting, we also have a pair of co-hosts joining us as guests. The co-hosts from the Coast to Coast Dynasty Podcast, Ruben Almada and Justin Mercer. Ruben, how you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it. And glad that you made it work with our hectic schedule and all.
Coast to coast, after all.
Yes.
Justin, how are you?
I am doing well. Yes, you called it there. 3-hour time difference. It's always hard to pin us down at the exact time, hence why we have very few guests on our show, because we pick random times that work for us both and we just make it happen.
Which kudos to
was that like 3 years ago or so, when I joined? We both joined the Dynasty Trades and HQ Patreon roughly about the same time, I think.
Yep.
And then we were also in the Dynasty Trades HQ Listener League number 5.
Yep. That was our first league together.
Justin joined a bunch of my leagues that I commission. I commission about 15 leagues. Okay. And he joined like 4 or 5 of those or more. I don't even know anymore.
I think I'm in 7 now because I picked up a couple orphans.
Yeah. He's been one of the ones I've conned into taking over several spots and such.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of how we met. And then we also were in the first copy of the Dynasty Hot Sauce Listener League. They've got 2 copies going to a 3rd copy. And that's how we kind of met. And then that's where the podcast actually formed, was there.
Yeah. And that group chat for that league, Justin Rogers said, you know, Ruben and Justin are going to be co-hosts on a podcast and they just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
So essentially, and that was where the pod was birthed.
Yeah. About a month later, it was actually.
Yeah.
Very quick. Because we kind of were like, that kind of sounds interesting. So that's where it started. And we actually celebrated 1 year yesterday. Right. We recorded our 1 year anniversary pod this morning, but it was yesterday that we posted our first one a year ago. So
very cool. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm just, I think it's really just neat how, you know, obviously Kyle's up in Canada. I'm down here in Jacksonville, Florida. And just, you know, just kind of how everything just comes together. So, but yeah, congratulations. And, you know, we'll go ahead and get talking to fantasy football. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you were just going to make, well, first off, again, congratulations. Yes. Very well put, Brad. A year ago today. So we are recording this on June 4th. So I guess June 3rd is the podcast birthday.
Yep.
Entering year 2 of the Coast to Coast Dynasty. And, I guess this episode, it's a coast to coast to coast. You go East Coast, West Coast, South Coast. And, I mean, I'm from the North Shore and the other side of the Great Lakes. But
that counts. That counts for sure. Yeah,
you're from the big brother up north, the little brother up north.
Yeah.
We've got the four corners covered. That's for sure.
But yes, so it's funny, like 2 copies of co-hosts here. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about rookie drafts basically for the last month plus now. And one of the mini leagues, one of the 15 leagues Ruben's commissions is the Dynasty Trades HQ /DNC League with members of both patron groups, even though I'd imagine most people in that league are patrons of both anyway. But for brevity's sake, I also like calling it the HQ and Chill League. But this was a league I think I've talked about on this podcast before.
That's nice. I like that.
It's easier than abbreviating all the letters. So
yes.
But yes, it was an auction startup, but once the auction's done, then it just functions as a typical Dynasty League, except there are 2 copies. And with regards to the 2 copies, the only rule is no fantasy team, no manager can roster the same 2 copies of a single player. So they can be in the same conference, just not on the same team. So that may also inform some of the specific draft picks as we get to the results of the rookie draft. I guess interesting that right off the top, we have the first 10 picks are the two copies of the first five players, what we'd see in most rookie drafts anyway, and it was all back to back. So 101 and 102, the first two copies of Bijan ran. Then Anthony Richardson at 103 and 4, Bryce Young 5 and 6, Stroud 7, 8, and then Jahmyr Gibbs 9 and 10. So I guess the first thing to talk about there is, Justin, you ended up making two of these picks, taking both the running backs, the second copy of both.
Yeah. So I have a co-owner in this league, Andrew Troller, and this was my very first auction startup. So I recruited a friend of mine to do it with me. And, with all the heavy hitters that are in this league, I figured backup would be necessary as far as watching the board and making sure I didn't miss anything. But our strategy, because I think we did this in going into late 21. Summer 21, and we were able to buy future picks. So we punted essentially to the 2023 draft, because even then it was being hyped up as a very strong draft class. So I think we bought, I forget the exact budget, but I think the going rate for a 23 first was around $105. And me and my co-owner ended up buying, I think, three on top of our own. So we spent like 30% of our budget getting future firsts. And we did get two QBs. We got Joe Burrow and Tua. But, made a lot of trades in that time. And really, we got down to where we only had we basically had three running backs, most of last year, and not any of them, outside of towards the end of the year, Shane Manila traded us Najee for Elijah Moore and Paris Campbell, which I'm happy about that deal now, but we didn't really need a running back, but it felt like a good value. But we really needed to load up on running backs if we were going to try and compete, because right now our quarterbacks are Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, because we did make some trades to get Trevor Lawrence. So the 102 we earned. We were the second to worst team in this league, and we took Bijan Robinson. I think that was a no-brainer pick in this. And then the Jahmyr Gibbs pick we actually traded for, and I don't know if you noted that in it, but we had a later pick. We had the one equivalent to the 109. And we traded a 24 second and the 109 and a third of this year to go up and grab that second copy of Gibbs. So that's how that all happened. And we also did have the second copy of CJ Stroud. Very active draft for me. My favorite draft that I've done so far this year, because we had a lot of movement. But I did a trade where we moved the second copy of CJ Stroud for TJ Hockenson, Ramondre Stevenson, Brock Purdy, and sorry, I'm just thinking of it. I'm not looking at it. And Jamal Williams for CJ Stroud and Greg Dulcich. So, and now we were on the clock for a while negotiating that deal with Justin Rogers of the Dynasty Hot Sauce. We were going back and forth for 3 hours. So that was a fun start to the draft for us.
Yeah, for sure. But first off, with getting Bijan and now Gibbs, you're hoping that Burrow's basement dwellers, which is your teammate, is not dwelling near the basement this year.
Yes. I mean, it's a big money league too. I mean, I think we should, let everybody know there's a decent amount at stake here with 24 teams. There is one winner out of those 24 teams, so you get a fairly sizable pot. Kyle, if I'm not mistaken, you won the first year, right?
He won. I was just going to say.
He
was the first winner.
So you know what that first prize is and how much that could mean. So,
the highest scoring team in my conference. So I got that extra $50 too.
That covers a lot of dynasty leagues for the following year.
Sure.
And yeah. Justin, I just went and looked. It was $85 for firsts.
85? Okay.
At startup. I went and looked, and it was a 55, but I think that it went back. You bought one for 55, but then it got traded back. There must have been some sort of
a mistake. Yeah.
A fat finger.
Yeah. Yep. But
which is smart in a sense, because the 22 first, if I remember correctly, those were going for around 105 and sometimes more than that. Yeah, I think I bought a future 22 first for, I think right around that 105, maybe a little less than that. But even like 20, I remember I bought a 22 second at the end of the auction for like $40+. So, you know, to get it, a 23 first for 85, that does seem like good value. So good foresight there.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. I mean, it's a larger money buy-in too, so having a co-owner helps in punting 2 years out, right? You don't feel quite as bad like paying this large buy-in and like basically earning the 101 2 years in a row, your first 2 years of the league. But I think it worked out where we now are starting to put the pieces together where we have a pretty strong team.
All right, so as mentioned, the first 10 picks were, again, what we'd conventionally expect to be the first five running backs that would, or sorry, the first five players that would go, the two running backs and the three quarterbacks. And then the first copy of Jaxon Smith-Njigba went at the 111, but then that's when things started to deviate. So in the first round, it seemed like the biggest differences were really at tight end. And I guess that was one of those spots, the 112, the first copy of Dalton Kincaid went.
Yeah.
There is a backstory to this too.
Yes,
yeah. You
heard
it on the
HQ
podcast.
Yeah, right? If you've listened to the Dynasty Trades in HQ, so with the caveat with these two copy leagues is there's all these little glitches, I guess, that the system can't necessarily handle, just because it doesn't really know. So when you're in a two copy and you go to draft, it doesn't like list Bijan twice. It doesn't list, you know, JSN twice. It doesn't list Gibbs twice. It lists them once, and once the first one's drafted, they're again. So, but when you're doing, when you're pre-drafting, and that's what happened at the 112, which is the 106, Shane had pre-drafted. I don't remember who we pre-drafted. I'm guessing JSN for in the first spot, and then Kincaid in the second spot or something like that. But because JSN went one spot ahead, it automatically took Kincaid on him. So, and he could have said something and I would have fixed it. But he didn't say anything. I didn't know anything of that until I listened to the podcast like a week later.
Yeah.
Cause that's Shane. He's not gonna.
Yeah. If he messes up, he'll just own it and he'll accept it and take it as it is. So Shane's a good sport like that.
But he did it twice. It happened to him twice.
Yeah, because he didn't realize it this by the second time. Because the second copy of Kincaid went at the 117, so a 5-spot difference. The only player in the first round with a bigger difference was Michael Mayer, and Shane also pre-drafted at the 118, the very next pick. And then the second copy didn't go until the second last pick of the second round is the 124, because again, Ruben, part of your commissioning chops, you like to have as an incentive to not fully tank the consolation bracket for teams that don't make the playoffs. Whoever wins that gets the 125, so an extra first round pick at the very end. So there are technically 25 picks in the first round. So the odd number in the copy, but
I have that in all my leagues. I have like the 113-ish kind of pick in for the. Just to keep everybody active, right? I feel like it keeps everybody active throughout, kind of deal.
Yeah. So, good thing for anyone looking to de-incentivize tanking to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, in this first round, too, like, if there was a second copy of a good player out there available, you did hold some leverage in trades if someone wanted that player. Right. I mean, it happened with Gibbs when we were trying to trade for the pick. And it also happened when we had Stroud to try and, you know, trade away. Like, I realized we were sitting pretty with the last copy of those top three quarterbacks. So, and we really didn't necessarily need one. So I was willing to shop it and said that in the chat and got a couple offers and then started negotiations. And then, you know, it progressed where I think we got a pretty good deal for ourselves. But yeah, in two copy, if you have that second copy, you wouldn't think it, like, but it almost creates even more value for that second copy of that same player because it's not on someone's roster yet.
The, I guess, drawback of the two copy, especially if you have back-to-back picks, though, is being conscious of that. And that actually did happen to you and your co-manager, Justin, where you had the 114. So after Shane pre-draft / auto picked Dalton Kincaid, we'll say the second copy of JSN went. At 114, you guys took Jordan Addison. And then at the 115, clearly you had Addison as your, you know, wide receiver two, it seems, going, taking him first, but you couldn't just take two copies of Addison. So that might also inform this next big difference.
And I mean, really, because we had the option to take that second copy of Kincaid there, right? I think so. That was an option for us, and because we could have went Addison, Kincaid, and we decided with, because this is a tiered PPR, so there's 1.25 points per reception for wide receiver and 1.75 points per reception for tight end. So I think that we were leaning towards wide receiver value there. So that's why we decided to go with Quentin Johnson at the second pick.
And you had just traded for Hockenson too. So you had Hockenson and you had some.
Yeah, that was part of that haul. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had that going for you too. He had an active first round. I have a co-owner as well. We bailed basically on all our picks it felt like. We made some other moves too, but.
I had zero picks in this draft.
That worked out well for you the 2 years ago too, so that works for it. It's worth it.
Although not so good last year. Well, I mean, fourth place, but yeah, not the whole thing. Pushed it forward. But even though I did even have a third during the draft that I traded away, and get to that at the end. But all to say, the second copy of Quentin Johnson went at the 119. So four spots later. So again, the third biggest difference in terms of first rounders, but. You know, four spots. It seems like that's the pick to make too. If you want, with the tight end premium not being so significant over wide receivers, especially double down and get two shots at it, makes a lot of sense. Was there any thought to just trade it for Hockenson? Any hesitation to take Addison and be too overexposed to the Vikings passing offense?
No, I mean not really, because you know I think that they're going to still be pass heavy going into this year. I think that. Addison, you know, certainly may eat into some of the targets that Hawk saw when he got traded there, because they really, I mean, Thielen was fighting some injuries, you know, so I think that certainly will play a factor in the targets he gets in the 2023 season. But, you know, I think Hockenson is like up in that, you know, probably not the second tier, but maybe the third tier if you have like Pitts, Kelsey, Andrews in his own tier, and then Hawk and some of the rest there. So we were happy to get that more elite tight end, at least the tight end that matters in this league, because we didn't have any to speak of. And I just don't know if our draft capital would have been, you know, well spent taking a rookie tight end, you know, that early, whereas wide receivers have shown the last several years that they can hit year one.
Right.
And value spike really helps.
Well, I'll be honest, I've been kind of doing that in different leagues as well, where I had, you know, not so desirable tight ends. I decided to let's try and trade picks. You know, one league was a one QB league, but I moved the 203 and Greg Dulcich to get Hockenson. No tight end premium, but still feeling like to get into the top six right now and get those difference makers, I think it's worth it. Brad, in our listener league together, the FPC Dynasty League, I traded away the 112 for Dallas Goedert. And so that was, again, that might have been Kincaid. Kincaid went earlier than the 112, so it might not have even been that. But rather than solve your problems with the rookie tight end, Goddard's been just that enough of that threshold to be a top six tight end and make a difference between him and anyone below him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think like we had mulled over a lot of different possibilities. We tried to trade for some of the top tier tight ends, like younger guys, because our team's fairly young in that league. And it just made sense. As soon as Justin Rogers said he was interested, I'm like, Hawk was the number one target that we wanted to get back. It's like Hawk's got to be in it, and then everything else could be built around it.
So then looking at the second round, I guess I mentioned the 125 kind of kicked off. It's funny because at the 124, 12 players all went, all both copies of those players went. So it's kind of like a perfect synchronicity in a sense. So what was the one?
It's the ones you would assume to do. It's the ones you would assume to go in the 12, in those first 12 spots, you know?
Yeah. We haven't mentioned Zay Flowers yet. After the second copy of Quentin Johnson went, there was basically alternating picks of Flowers and Levis for four straight. Again, the two copies of Michael Mayer. And then, yeah, at 125, what was it going to be? That, like, what was going to be that last first round pick that was a kind of a different copy? It ended up being three straight picks, Sam Laporta, Zach Charbonnet, and Jonathan Mingo. And then I guess, well, we can mention that the second copy of Sam Laporta went to someone who's on this show right now.
Yes, we actually traded up for that. We were, I think, at the 208 or so. And we traded that. And I think we had a fourth as well. And we just went, you know, we could use another tight end on the team. And we like, both of us like Laporta. We've got tight ends. We don't have anybody like that is this huge person that matters. It's just a lot of bodies. So it's kind of like, hey, let's get somebody that might, we can just kind of play the matchups with our group of guys. And we did trade up to get that. And we were going back and forth. I don't think we went back and forth too much. We gave up the 208 and a future third for the 203 to draft him.
Which I have Laporta as the tight end too. I have him ahead of Mayer. I know some people may not agree with that. Back to Justin's point, the second copy of a player spurring the action. If both copies of Laporta were there, you might have waited again and not traded for the second.
Yeah, once the first one went, that was the thing. So once that first one went, we were chatting each other back. We're like, hey, if he keeps falling, like if he doesn't go next, let's keep, we can't. I mean, I think we offered to the 201 and the 202 to try to move up to get him before he went, because we liked him better than Mingo and Charbonnet in that situation.
Knowing the scoring settings, I think for sure. And it seemed like other people thought that too. So interesting that those managers didn't trade down, because it seems like they would have had an opportunity. They were, Charbonnet and Mingo actually represent the two biggest differences in the second round, six spots apart. The first copy of Charbonnet mentioned 201 and then 207.
And they go next to each other both times.
Yeah, that is funny too.
So here's a question. So we had the 202 before this draft happened. And we have Trevor Lawrence, and we got a cold offer of Evan Engram for our 202, and we countered and we added in Zay Jones. So we got Zay Jones and Evan Engram. So would you rather have Zay Jones and Evan Engram or Sam Laporta, Kyle, since he's your tight end too?
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I think for sure, especially wanting to compete, I want the two pieces. It's a start 12 as well,
if I
remember correctly. So the depth of starting two, and I think with the idea of that stack is you're maybe not necessarily relying on both every week, but it kind of gives you an option if Ingram's, I suppose Ingram's maybe the solid backup for Hawkinson if ever you want to augment your lineup. You can always just throw in the second tight end in the flex. But Zay Jones, I mean, he had 121 targets last year. He might be,
I know,
even more the because he, you know, that's about, I think that was like 25 more targets almost than Evan Engram. So that might almost be the more every week starter. I guess we'll
see. With the 1.25 PPR there, you know, I mean, it was a free ad. I was like, well, let's counter with this and see what we can get. Yeah, and that's the best way to do it. Because not people aren't valuing him. I mean, DLF, Scott Connor wrote wide receivers to buy or write up like 2 weeks ago, and his buy was Zay Jones just because of the cost difference between Ridley and Kirk and Zay Jones, right? I mean, they're going, you know, much, much earlier, and Zay's an afterthought, yet he got paid and he performed last year. So
it's funny. Just shout out to another startup, the Dynasty Junkies 3 listener league startup. That's my only startup this year I've done so far. Managed to get two first round picks. So I went Lawrence and Fields, and Fields not really, I don't love a lot of those weapons DJ Moore went too early. So I wasn't really looking to stack Fields, but Christian Kirk and Ridley went a little too early as well, but I was able to get both Engram and Zay Jones as stacking options. And another Jaguars player that I'll hint at a little later, but is currently my most rostered, or one of my two most rostered rookies. So talk about that towards the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the So I guess the one other biggest difference in the second round was Marvin Mins. That came a little later, 210 and 215, so a 5-spot difference. I guess whether Ruben or Justin, were there any other observations, anything you want to point out about the second round?
No, I mean, I think it was pretty went the way I thought it kind of would go. You don't usually see, like, this is the second year we've done this multiple copy one, so you kind of have that experience, have the experience in multiple copy at the in the HQ, or not the HQ, in the Hot Sauce League. And then I've been in a couple others throughout the years here and there, and you don't see crazy, you know, gaps of guys. I think an 8-spot gap is really big. I mean, it's almost, you know, it's half a roundish kind of deal. So basically, that's California farmer math. So that's
well, I mean, like the biggest through the first two rounds, the biggest difference we saw was 6 spots. And I guess that's technically a quarter of a round.
Yeah. And so, you know, I didn't think anything really stood out that was kind of wonky at all. I didn't have any, oh wow, that's early moments at all. You know, if you kind of divide it up back to where it should be, like the 206 and that kind of stuff, maybe looking at it now, Jaden Reed, maybe a little bit earlier than I thought, than I would expect, but because of the scoring, it kind of makes sense. So I didn't think anything was too crazy in this draft.
Yeah. And what I would say is we were looking to trade into the second if someone fell. And I would say this is a very sharp league with a lot of players that, you know what they're doing and took players around where they should have been taken, in our opinion. So we really didn't see a whole lot of value dropping. So we didn't really make any moves outside of the start. We had a hot start and really we just kind of sat back and watched because it went pretty much as I expected.
Having 4 first round picks means you don't really feel like that over need to pay up the second extra.
Right.
Yep.
I guess just a quick observation from the second round. The players that it's funny how we saw that the first 10 picks were all back to back 2 copies. And then we didn't see that for a while. Kendre Miller, the 2 copies went 204, 205. And then we saw another stretch of this was 8 straight picks of 4 copies going in the 2 copies back to back. Rashee Rice, 216, 217. Tank Bigsby, 218, 219. Roshan Johnson, 220, 221, and then Taji Spears, 22 and 23. Ruben, you guys ended up with the 220, at the 220, taking Roshan Johnson. Any comments
about that? Yeah, we just kind of were like, I sent my, you know, co-owner, I go, these are the guys I'm thinking here, you know, and he's like, and he just responded, Roshan. Kind of, that's how we were going throughout the whole day. It's like, whoever kind of got to each other first, like, hey, these are my 2 or 3 guys that I would take here, and then kind of let the other co-owner pick from there, kind of deal. And that was a thought. It's you know, I think Roshan could be something in Chicago. I told him Roshan, Spears, Musgrave, and Chase Brown were the ones I might have told him, something like that. And that's what he came back with. So I just hit the draft button on him.
I would have gone Roshan from that spot too, to be honest. So
yeah. I was really happy. I don't think I have a lot of them. So it's like, oh, okay. Chance to get another share.
Brad, any comments so far about the copies?
Well, going back to the Roshan, I know Kyle and I both like him a lot. Was that the first copy that you drafted at 220?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we took the first copy of him and then Shane Manillo and took the second copy right back to back.
Gotcha. I think you mentioned Miller, and I was thinking, you know, he was going to go, you know, late first, but, you know, hearing him go, I mean, I guess technically what, two,
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 two, three.
Two, three,
two, four,
two,
five.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's about, I mean, there's just so much hype all over everywhere about him. So it was kind of surprising.
He's done nothing but like go up in ADP, right?
Yeah.
His rate gone up. Like
not for me, he hasn't.
Right.
But that's probably why, Brad, because you've been hearing me hype him up for months now. So that's probably where you're hearing a lot of this hype from.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. No, I'm following along tracking. And this is very, very fascinating. I've never been in a copy league, so I'm walking along, walking it through with you guys. So no, this is great.
But to your point, Brad, I mean, we have seen Kendre Miller go a lot in the first round in our drafts. So I mean, I've taken him in the 112 in a rookie draft. So
yeah, I want to say in most of the ones that I've seen, he's towards the tail end. I mean, but if not, I mean, yeah, I was just curious.
I'd have to go back and look at all mine, but I don't think he went in any firsts of mine. I could be wrong, though.
The only one he did that I know for sure is Shark Tank, because it was Devy depleted.
Yes, Devy.
I took him at the 111 and was thanking my lucky stars.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Gotcha. There have been some instances I've seen him go like 207, but it does seem like early second is...
Yeah,
is
like 201 to 204-ish is where I've been. You know, I feel like I've seen him.
Gotcha.
Okay. I need to do a better job of doing my own ADP for next year as I'm going with the amount of leagues that I play in.
Yeah, I guess I could manage with just, I think I've done 10 rookie drafts so far. I can manage just doing the spreadsheets and the screen shares I do with Brad for the shows. Basically, that's enough. I can look through that fairly well. But yeah,
there you go.
It's not anything more than that. It'd probably be a little out of control, we'll say. All right, so we can talk about the third round now. And the third round kicks off with two copies of Luke Musgrave, one of the guys Ruben was considering at the 220. And then there's a couple more players that went back to back again as the two copies. So it's funny where the pockets of those were. Chase Brown, 305, 306. Israel Abanikanda, both those copies went back to back, 312, 313. Tucker Kraft, 315, 316. I think when that 316 went, that was when I made my move. I had the 320 that I traded out straight up for a future third, actually. Talk about the Dynasty Hot Sauce, one of the co-hosts there, Justin Rogers. It's funny that I went on the clock, and thanks for everyone's patience in the draft. Although it was my first pick, so I felt like I could take some time. Some of the other people took time, but I think I went on the clock, you know, 8:30 p.m. that whatever night that was. And once Tucker Kraft went about, like, I think a half hour before, I started making offers. And then once I was on the clock, I aggressively made offers. I think I sent a trade offer out to, I don't think quite half the league, because the people have already made enough trades, but anyone who had a 24 third, I just sent straight up 320 for a 24 third. Who's willing to do that straight up? Is there a player? Because I would have just,
We got that offer. We considered it. I, you know, but, and it was funny. I mean, the player that we were looking at there, we didn't end up going in this draft because it's only three rounds, and we got him for half of the fab of the first copy that went. So we were pretty happy about that too. So we kept our third and got it for less.
Oh, was that me overspending on Clayton Tune?
No. It was Darnell Washington. We wanted him because our tight ends are the weakest spot. Outside of Hawk and Ingram, we have nobody. So,
oh, it's funny because I've got just Kittle and Higbee, and I don't feel like it's so bad. But now you're saying that's making me not feel so good. Because I'd rather have your tight end room.
We do have a lot of tight ends. It's just a lot of throwing against the wall to see what's
darts. Yeah.
I hear you. But anyway, so yeah, so. It's funny, almost everyone rejected it. So I think everyone was kind of thinking the same thing. It's so close to the end. It's only a three round draft. So there'll be enough players available on the waivers, which is my thinking too. It's like, okay, there's a few guys I could take here. But ultimately I just give me something for the future. And I think I only have thirds as far as next year. I've already dug into the future picks, part of the trade to get Justin Fields last year. But yeah, so just any picks I can for next year to help replenish. And yeah, that was, I had sent him, I think, because Justin Rogers has two future thirds, and I sent him the one that on the team that doesn't look as good. And he counted back for the other third. And at that point, everyone else had rejected. I think one offer was still unresponded to. And at that point, it's like, okay, this is literally the only person that's going to do it. And it felt like it was, again, a very specific player. He went and got Zach Evans, which is actually the second copy spot
difference.
Yeah,
right?
The largest disparity in the draft. The first copy went 310.
I was gonna say it was the only copy that went because I didn't even see him there.
So high up, yeah. And so that's interesting that the patience to kind of wait that far. But he very specifically wanted Zach Evans. So again, the idea of the second copy being the thing that moves it in the trade. It, again, true yep. here. I didn't even know that. That was a good transition yeah. to build in there, Justin. We can use throughout the episode. Yeah. We can keep copying that comment about this two copy episode. So no other manager I think would have done it. Clearly, I think what I think after I made that trade, one of the other later thirds was traded for fab money. So the idea of getting the future third that is really just a limited. You know, I had to go to get send this offer to everyone and just find the random person that was willing to do it for the second copy of Zach Evans. So again, part of I've been preaching this a lot on the show this year and other shows I've done. If you want to get moves done, I know like Scott Connor and Eric Vanek, they talk about the auto accept trade block. I haven't had as much success that I find it just happens making the offers yourself, going out and sending the offers, and you'll find the people as opposed to relying on people checking and having the initiative to make the offers themselves.
I agree with both things. I do the auto accept trade block too quite a bit in most of my leagues, and that's good for like other people kind of checking in. But I think that most of us, I know Justin too, and myself, we're all very aggressive at sending trades. I don't know. I've never calculated, but I know that I'm sending 2, 3, 4 trades a day. Not from every league, but just, you know, think of something. I'm like, hey, what about in this league? Can I go do this or that kind of deal? Heck, I'm doing it right now as we speak. you guys gave me the idea on the Zay Jones thing. And so, to your point about the later pick going, it was a 324 that went for $75 in fab. So,
which is interesting because before the draft, someone made me an offer of Mitch Trubisky for $55 in fab. And I figured, what the heck? Why not? I'll take another backup quarterback. I've got really two starters in Justin Fields and Ryan Tannehill. And the going fragile QB it helped me win year one. That year, I think Tannehill played all 17 games and Kyler Murray, I think, only missed 4. And I did handcuff him with Colt McCoy, so I was able to cover that. But mostly got lucky that first year and, don't want to rely too much on Fields, Tannehill. So I'm trying to, if I can't get another starter, let me fill as many backups as possible. I'm going to have a pretty big QB room. I already do. And again,
did already you mentioned trade Kyler then?
I did. Yeah. That was part of how I got Justin Fields last year, right after the injury. I was in the playoffs. I wanted the healthy quarterback who was smashing at that point. So I gave up. I think that's how I don't have my first and second. So I sold pretty low on Kyler in an effort to just go for it. And I think I got through, I think I had the bye the first week. So I was lucky that Murray injury didn't affect me in a playoff game. And so that's why I was able to still go. I think I got through 1 week with Fields and then I lost in the semis. So
my favorite trade last year in the playoffs was a team that was going for it. I was out of it. Had Jalen Hurts who was injured and I traded Fields and a third to get Hurts. So
you just keep moving up that ladder even more. Yeah. That's how you get
robbery
quarterbacks.
He wanted to win. He wanted to win.
That makes, I mean, I still kind of don't feel great about my trade in hindsight, but that's okay. I got the healthy guy this year too. So I think part of why I made that trade was it was going to affect me for this playoff run. And it was going to affect me for this upcoming 2023 season. So I felt I could justify giving up a first, and I just got to make sure I keep winning this year, which obviously I like my team. It's done well, but part of it is also why I didn't want to add a rookie to this either. I felt like the future third is something I can use in season to help me win in a more significant fashion than just frankly making Evan Hull my most rostered player and just grabbing another share of him, which I would have done if I was forced to stick. Right now it's Evan Hull and Bretton Strange actually as my two most rostered rookies. And ultimately, both copies of Evan Hull went, but then I spent my fab on, again, all those backup quarterbacks, Stetson Bennett, Aiden O'Connell, and Clayton too. And I'm shocked I outbid Eric Vanek for Aiden O'Connell. So I got all the backup quarterbacks I didn't really want, but let's throw them all in.
Yeah, no. So Brenton Strange was the Jaguar you alluded to that you were going to talk about being the,
I was thinking Bigsby.
Yeah, me too. When you said it, I thought Bigsby, but then You
it's funny. I'll shout out to Brian Ford, who was on the part of my duties with Going for Two Live, joined us on the Dynasty Gambit on Thursday. And his most rostered rookie overall is Tank Bigsby, though. So, but I actually have 0 shares of Tank. I have Roshan ahead of him. So I've even traded up in a couple seconds to get Roshan and draft him ahead of Tank. And I think in other spots where I might have gotten tank, I've just preferred to take the round two wide receivers as well. So I got a share of Mims. I think I took Downs in a rookie draft before rookie draft before the NFL draft. So I was thinking that was going to be a round two wide receiver, not so much here. I guess as we get to the end of the two copies, just to talk to the two co-hosts, I guess I was going to use that as a transition to help you guys think about it. But I know both Justin and Ruben track their player rostership. So who are your most rostered rookies?
So my two most rostered rookies are Evan Hull at 11 shares and Luke Schoonemaker at 10 shares.
Okay, interesting. But one thing I was going to mention was Schoonemaker was the second biggest difference in this draft. And I thought that was one point where I was maybe considering trading up. If he had fallen to 320, I wouldn't have traded away that pick. I would have just taken, I've always called him Schoonemaker. So it's Schoonemaker. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm going. It sounds good.
You see, the French Canadian in me wants to say Schoonemaker there, because that's how a French person would say it. So just it's softer, it's nicer. But would have been a one player that I've got one other share of him, but I like him enough. I actually have him as my rookie tight end three, even ahead of Michael Mayer. So I like that quarterback situation, that offense better, and
both were second. 30 leagues, right? 30 leagues, mm-hmm. I think. All but four are 1.75 or higher. So in those third and fourth rounds, if he's there, I was just hitting draft every time.
Clicking the button. Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
Easily rather have him over Luke Musgrave, and I've barely ever seen him go. I think almost every draft I've seen Musgrave go ahead. So the one.
I got a lot of Musgrave too, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's pure draft capital, like who got drafted first, right?
No, I don't.
People look at that and then they pick that guy, but Tucker Kraft got drafted in the third. So, I mean, as far as my rookies, so the free guys that I picked up after the draft, I don't think I'd press the button on either of them was Tyon Evans. I have 6 and Charlie Jones. I have 5. But I did a pretty good job at portfolio management, and I really have just 4 of I have 4 Bijans, 4 Izzy's, 4 Jalen Hyatt, 4 JSN, 4 Addison, 4 Musgrave, 4 Mims, 4 QJ, 4 Tucker Kraft, right? So, those were the guys I was able to get, a balanced, portfolio of some of the top guys that I liked personally. And Izzy was one that I definitely feel like with Hall and the ACL, he could get out to a good start for the year and, carve out a role.
And I probably have more players too, just in general, just because, I had a couple of leagues that were rookie auctions that I had a lot of money. So you're going to come out with more players in general than a typical draft. So that kind of helps pad the amount of players I have too. But I'm also, before this year, I was in quite a bit more leagues than Justin. He's catching up now.
I'm too off.
He has a startup problem right now.
Coast to coast off.
Hey, I say it's for content, right?
Yes.
And I'm creating content by being in the dynasty streets for startups.
Hey, the content creates itself. You can just keep drafting and trading. But since you guys are in so many leagues, are there any rookies you don't have any shares of?
I'd have to go through and look at all of them kind of deal, but I don't think so. I'm pretty sure.
As far up to this point, I've been 10 dynasty drafts, and there are quite a few. I mean, there's some drafts like this one where I've just traded out completely. So almost the opposite of Ruben, where I maybe have less than average, but I've got quite a few rookies, especially in the first two rounds, that I don't have any shares of. No Stroud. I don't have Young. Don't have any Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, I have 0 Young. And we talked about it on our episode last week that I have, for whatever reason, I just drafted no Young. And
I got 5 of those, 5 Young, 5, 4 Stroud, 6 Richardsons. I mean, I don't think I'd have to literally go through. I think I've got at least one of every. I mean, I've even got a Zach Kuntz and a Trey Palmer.
Yeah, because I don't have any of the top 3 tight ends. As much as I like Kincaid and Laporte, I don't have any of them, as well as Mayer, who I've kind of been actively fading. Don't have any Charbonnet yet. Kincaid. Don't have any Achane.
Oh, Achane might be one that I don't have a lot of. At least he was one that I really wasn't hitting draft on. I don't think
I have one, and that was from a heavy league.
I have five of them too. I don't know.
You just forgot those five.
you overlooked a chain, which I guess he's small enough you could.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I wish I had more Kincaid, but he was going pretty high. I mentioned that on our show. I corrected that in this startup. I did get another share. Surprisingly, in the startup, he went lower than I expected after Freiermuth, which a lot of, you know, industry rankings have him above Freiermuth, and he went significantly after, like a round and a half. So,
I only have one Gibbs. And that's the and I have him in the DDL4, which is another one of my leagues. That's a 14 teamer, and I drafted him there, but it's the only share spot I got him.
And I do know Justin just talked about the fact that you have no Bryce Young, and or Ruben, you even say just how little Gibbs is. It may not even be like we're deciding not to have them. It's, I know for myself, the reason I don't have Stroud and Young is I've traded out a lot of the picks where I would have taken them. I sent the 102 and the 104 in a league to, as a part of a trade to get Justin Jefferson. I traded the 105 with Shane Manila and HQ2 just to get Devontae Smith and something else thrown in. So I've kind of, okay, if I have to take a quarterback here, can I just trade it out and get did not have to take a quarterback or not have to take Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah, yeah. There was one league that I had the 102, 3, 4, and 6. And it was a league where I had Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love. So I had a couple quarterbacks I felt okay with. One quarterback I felt great with, one quarterback okay with. And I was like, you know, if I want to try and go for this league, I had Saquon at running back. So I went A-Rich, JSN Gibbs, let the fifth guy pick his quarterback, and then I got Stroud. Right. So he picked Young. So I could have had Stroud and Young there, right, had I done it properly, but I did it intentionally because I was like, all right, well, I just want one more with A-Rich, Jordan Love, Hurts, you know, and then whatever one was left. Right. Then that would give me four pretty good quarterbacks. And I just wanted to make sure I got Gibbs and JSN.
I think for me, it came down to like, I had already worked on a lot of leagues to get that quarterback. And then I had a lot of leagues that I was trying to move. I should have tried to move out sooner, but I was trying to move out on the clock and it wasn't working. I was in one league that I didn't need quarterback. I think I had two elite already and I'm sitting at the 104 or 3 or something like that. And Stroud and Young are both there. And I'm like, come on, somebody come and like move up two spots. I'll just go back two spots. Nothing. So I had to hit draft. So I took one of them. And then I think again, like at the 106, I had the 106 later and the other quarterback was still there because somebody didn't take him. And there was clear teams that needed quarterbacks that like, and I wasn't like looking for a haul. I'm like, give me a second on top of it and I'll drop back two spots because I know what you're coming up for. I don't need that position, but I could have left them there for somebody else, but I'm like, I can't leave that there to me because they're too valuable even in a trade later. So
exactly. If the trade isn't materializing at the draft, it may later in the offseason or even during the season.
I mean, I already had two elites. Like it was in a sleeper league and I already had like Lamar and Herbert, I think it was. And I'm like, oh, and then later the guys are like, well, I need quarterbacks. I'm like, dude, I was like letting you come and get one kind of deal. But yeah, that's kind of what had happened in a few leagues for me. It was like, I couldn't move the pick and nobody wanted to pay up for it. And I wasn't even looking for that much, just a little bit. But
yeah, I will say you dove into the sleeper streets pretty hard last year. So you got a lot of those trade back, get a first, yeah, right? And some of those first probably turned into those, you know, 103, 104, 105 QB.
I had a league, my first one that me and Scott Connor ended up doing a podcast on. I had like by the end of the beginning of this year or before the draft started, I had six firsts in this draft. I traded two of them away, but still I couldn't get anybody to come get it for quarterbacks. But I also have now nice part, the guys that didn't come get quarterbacks, I also have their 24 firsts.
So that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Got them both ways. But I guess, Ruben, one more question for you, just again, how little you have of Gibbs. And I think, unless he was going earlier than this, a lot of the times we saw him in Superflex leagues going at the 105 or the 106, and it was, Gibbs or JSN. It seems like a lot of people were talking about that tier break. Did you ever select Jaxon Smith-Njigba ahead of Jahmyr Gibbs?
No. I was really hoping to get Gibbs like in my two home leagues at the 106, but he went like the 104 or even 102 in one of the leagues. And it was just like, okay, ideal. So no, I don't think, I mean, I'm not going to say 100%. I didn't select JSN in front of, but I don't remember ever picking JSN over Gibbs. It was always wanting to get Gibbs, but just didn't do it.
And I guess one last thing, Brad, do you have any questions to about everything we've done so far through this episode? Any final remarks?
No, nothing else. No, this has been great. Like you said, just hearing about the copy league. I mean, it's obviously a different strategy to go towards. Probably just my biggest comment is I'm down here in Jacksonville. I'm a big Gator fan, so I've been watching Anthony Richardson pretty much through high school. So I was actually very hyped up because in several leagues I was sitting at the 104. I'm like, oh, he's going to be there. And just draft night happened, and I kept trying to get up to get him, seeing that he was going second. So that's probably my biggest miss, just because I feel like I have a little bit of a connection with him, and I want him to do well. I am kind of bummed that he's in my Jaguars division. We've got to play him twice a year, so hopefully it won't turn out too great. But that's probably my biggest miss. And then I'm certainly not in the number of leagues you guys are, but probably the one guy who always seems to follow me, and a lot of it's on me. We talked with B-League, earlier this week, is I love that second round, that middle of the second round. There's so many guys that I really had I would be comfortable taking, and I would move back in, get a couple of them. And it seemed like I always ended up with Rice out in Kansas City. So I'm hoping, he can materialize, obviously, with an elite quarterback. So I want to say, out of my, I guess really eight dynasty leagues, I mean, I have three shares of Rice, and he's always right in the middle there for me. And I mean, never fails. I mean, it seems like it comes between him and Mims. I mean, I know that happened with Kyle and I in our FPC. I think it was that one.
They were back to back. I picked Mims. And
yeah, I mean, Rice. I would have been happy with either one, but I think I'm glad he went ahead and took Mims. That made it easier for me. So, this has been great. I appreciate it.
It was great meeting you.
You too.
One final comment I did want to make is about the final pick, because again, I talked about how in the first round, the 125, an odd number of picks. So at the end, there's, assuming, because up to that point, one copy went, the second copy went. So that 324, who, and it's funny, it was Eric Vanek.
I think he bought it.
He traded in, and we all were thinking Aiden O'Connell. It turns out he threw a fast one and took the first copy of Michael Wilson. And
was that before Hopkins got released?
No, it was after.
I guess I do wonder how much that had an influence on this too. We talked about the scarcity of the second copy. If you look at the results from the first waiver run after the rookie draft, the highest bid for any of those rookies was the second copy of Michael Wilson at 385, which that's over a quarter of the budget. That's closing in on a third of the budget.
I mean, that's $310 more than Eric paid for him, because he paid $75 to get to that spot.
Yep.
It's a heck of a move there.
Yeah, smart by Eric. Interesting enough. And then, I think Justin alluded to the second copy of, or the, sorry, the first copy of Darnell Washington went for $333, the second highest. And then the same person who paid up for Michael Wilson spent $278 on Aiden O'Connell. So they used up basically about half their budget just on those two rookies.
What that tells me is they're an Eric Vanek fanboy right there.
And then it's funny, because I got the second copy of O'Connell and the second copy of Stetson Bennett for cheaper, more than $100 cheaper on the O'Connell one. But then I overspent on Clayton Tune. I got the first copy for $122.
I think second he plays copy this year, though.
I think so, too. And I guess it's funny because my inclination these last couple of years, I have just rostered the entire Cardinals QB room. Again, the fragile QB build with Kyler Murray. Chris Streveler. Perfect. He's a former CFL guy. I love that, too. And then last year with Colt McCoy, and then even I'm pretty sure I had Trace McSorley as well, regrettably.
Yep.
And I guess I continue this year. I still have Colt McCoy. May as well grab Clayton Tune. And like I said, you know, I could have gone for Bretton Strange, and maybe, you know, after Justin's comments, maybe my QB room or my tight end room needs a little work, but I felt that just to get the QB room was the priority. So I just, okay, let me just spend on all three of these backup quarterbacks or these rookie quarterbacks with backup potential that could potentially even start. So if I can get any starts out of them, or if I can flip any of them for thirds for spot starts that I can use on players that will help me win, or if I need the QB stability, I figured it gave me options. So I spent about
good on you because me and my co-owner did not do any claims at all. And that was just foresight. He texted me the morning after it ran and he's like, how the heck did we not do the claims on a league that you commission, we co-own? And I told him two options. We were not very bright. The number two option was we were super busy. And he said it was option number one. So,
oh, okay. I figured you were going to go, you're busy. Or all these rookies suck and didn't matter.
What I hate is the leagues that the draft ends and then waivers aren't open up yet. Cause as soon, like my trigger to go put in waiver claims is the draft is over. Then I'm in and I'm like trying to do waivers. And when you're not allowed yet, that's what ticks me off. Like HQ leagues were like that. And I was like, ah. Because Michael Sipes wants all of them to be done. So I co-own eight in HQ6 with Jim Dickey. And so I was trying to put in waiver claims in there. And he won't open up waivers until all the HQ drafts are over. So.
Well, I noticed on the Coast to Coast Roast, again, the one-year anniversary episode, I suggest everyone go check out all the episodes, but certainly that one. I won't spoil it all, but it's funny how the episode basically ended on the Coast to Coast Roast, of course, but a mini roast by Ruben on a specific commissioner. So it's funny.
Oh, yeah. That's
happening here again, too.
It's an ongoing roast.
And he enjoys it. He actually made a comment 2 weeks ago when we had some things in that league that he commissions. He's all, oh, hopefully I don't get roasted. I'm like, well, it's too late, kind of deal. He's a good sport about it. So that's kind of why I end up doing it pretty much. And hopefully nobody's ever been offended. We tried to, I don't think he's the only one that we've ever said a name, like literally the only person. And that's because I know he knows and he doesn't take offense to it. We don't try to say any names. And
that's why it's a bit though, right? Yeah, because Alex is the only person we've actually roasted. And
I guess if you get offended by it, it's probably attacking you then. So you are the problem.
yes, again. So where can people find everything Coast to Coast Dynasty?
So Twitter, Coast C2C Dynasty Pod. And then we're on any of the, wherever you listen to podcasts, Coast to Coast Dynasty Podcast. I'm on Twitter at SuperflexDGen.
And I am at C2C Dynasty Merce. And, you know, we try not, I don't tweet a lot. I retweet a lot of people's stuff, but you know, I think if you listen to us, you know that we're active in our leagues. I spend most of my time in my leagues trying to figure out trades.
Yeah, and I spend a lot of time inside the Dynasty and Trades HQ Patreon and the Dynasty and Chill Patreon in there. It's a community that's been built up for a few years. I've been a member of the Dynasty and Chill since the start. I was a follower of Scott before he even created his own Patreon. He was over in the DCC, the Dynasty Command Center, and that's where I've met him and a couple other people that are in there. So we're kind of the OGs, the old fogies of the group. So I spend a lot of time in those two, and it's where I've feel like grown my game kind of deal from being in those chats, even when a lot of new people have come in over the last few months, 6 months or so, since Scott's venture into the Destination Devi world. and it's always, they bring new ideas and aspects. It's a lot of fun. So you can find me on those Patreons too.
Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at FPC_fantasypod. Brad's at @TheRundown_BH. I'm at Senator Says. And thank you, Justin. Thank you, Ruben, for joining us here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of the Full Press Fantasy Pod.